This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Alone. This first from the National Weather Service. Mostly sunny today with a high around 74. Tonight, increasing clouds, lows around 51. For tomorrow, expect a bit of rain into each life. A bit of that's going to fall with a high near 66. And tomorrow night, showers, lows around 49. The overcast outlook. The last quarter fruit moon in Sagittarius is 22 days old. The cyanotic people advise you that it's not a good time to be sowing anything in the garden. Waning moon. That's the thing. So, but instead, use the time to weed and harvest. Harvest? Absolutely, yes. What about all the kale and broccoli and whatnot that you planted last autumn? It's also an excellent time to build a compost pile. Biodynamic outlook, moon in Sagittarius, fire sign. It's a good time for sowing fruiting plants. Sidereal forecast, moon in Sag, dry and barren. You can think about setting out some bulbs, believe it or not. Why not? That said, and moving right along, we are so happy to welcome Colleen Rowley to back to the KBOO airwaves. Returning to the memo of May 2002, Colleen testified to the Senate Judiciary Committee about some of the FBI's pre-9/11 failures. And she says that the influential Nobel Committee Secretary Lear Gunstad is repeatedly but unsuccessfully attempted to explain how it is to be expected the 2009 recipient Obama would be engaged in two wars. This is a little hard to understand, and one only hopes that later in history Obama will offer some, he does have some explaining to do. Good morning, Colleen. Thank you so very much for being with us today.
Yes, thanks for giving the opportunity to discuss these issues.
Well, I want to talk to you first, of course, and foremost, of course, about whistleblowing. It has changed. The landscape has changed somewhat. It seems that we have more the fear that we have been acclimated to is, in some ways, put a damper on whistleblowing. It's become incredibly dangerous. We have the absurdity of John Kiriakou in prison now, and others possibly thinking about speaking out. Can you talk a little bit about your experiences? Of course, were very, very extreme, and there are no protections for government workers, especially in the field you are working in. No protections whatsoever. Right now, how do you feel the world has changed for potential or actual whistleblowers?
Well, if you just check the comparison between the whistleblowing that went on during the Vietnam War, and of course everyone recalls the example of Daniel Ellsberg leaking the Pentagon Papers in early 70s, and 19 newspapers being so brave that they defied the Department of Justice's court orders. They were trying to do a preemptive shutdown of the First Amendment at the time. Nixon, of course, considered very similarly to Obama, considering Bradley Manning and WikiLeaks as public enemy number one. That was exactly the same mentality that Nixon and J. Edgar Hoover had at the time about Daniel Ellsberg. The difference, though, between these 40 years, and we're both in times of war, so that's the same, the difference is in the mainstream media's reaction. Because back in the Pentagon Papers time, you know, to defy the Department of Justice's court orders and publish those Pentagon Papers, you know, in the belief that they would give the truth about the war, and then eventually winning in the Supreme Court on that very issue, that the government does not have the right to shut down freedom of press. Now, fast forward. And the difference, the major difference, is that the government is successfully shutting down the press and in other ways controlling the press, sometimes even through blackmail, in the sense that they can tap into all of the communications, especially those of journalists and reporters. Those would be the number one things targeted, so that if a New York Times tried to meet a new Daniel Ellsberg somewhere, or if you think about Deep Throat, where they met in a garage, well, the government is trying to stop that. So they are, that's the essential thrust of their efforts, and they call it the insider threat. It's actually labeled the insider threat.
Well, that, I like the term. I like that phrase. And I think a bit now about, of course, the drone program, which is part and parcel of Obama's NDAA targeted assassination plans. It seems, too, that now we're virtually converted exclusively to an online world, which is so very easy to track. Another reason why they're so keen to shut down the post office, because that's private and they can't look at that easily. But they can certainly track everything else, the drone program and whistleblowing. Colleen, in your experience, would you, And from what you observe of the administration's program, the drones that they're more or less out there, ubiquitous in the environment now. Anybody can get their hands on one. The government has them. Whistleblowers in that field, we have, nothing's happened yet. What are the chances that we are going to witness someone in that area of government standing up and saying what's really going on? Because it's difficult to believe the reports that come out of some of the deaths that people say are happening in remote villages and not so remote places.
Well, that's a great question, and in the last couple of months, there has really been some light shed on the what everyone believes, certainly the law professors of the world believe, is a completely unlawful policy. And even at the very least now, it's even admitted amongst most conservatives and even people who support the war effort that the drone policy is in great need of reform. So there's been a sea change in the last couple of months. And why is the sea change? Because there has been a little more truth and a little more light shed on it. First through the filibuster in the course of the John Brennan confirmation, but also probably its administrative sources, no one quite knows, and these may have been authorized even from high levels to leak this white paper. It's called the White Paper, which is it's kind of a summary of the drone policy, and of course it's extremely flimsy. When Eric Holder was questioned by Congress about, you know, this doesn't even make sense that you're saying that you can kill anyone in the world on a global battlefield, even if there's no imminent threat, just because you say that 2 years from now or 10 years from now, this person might pose a threat. That's the standard. And so when Eric Holder was questioned on that, because that's right in the white paper that was leaked to the press, Eric Holder said, well, don't you know there are other secret memos that I'm not sharing with you? And so the secrecy, I mean, unbelievable excessive secrecy, whereby an executive kill list team, will not even share the legal justifications with the appropriate intelligence committees who have the same classifications, they have the same top secret classified access, and they won't even share it with the committees who are supposed to have oversight over these CIA covert activities. So that's the situation we're in. So if there's any time when a new Daniel Ellsberg is needed now to basically give the information to a wider audience, and maybe even for starters to Congress. Congress has been kept completely in the dark also about this.
Now's the time. Colleen, we are, as a matter of fact, at this point, completely out of time. We're in membership drive right now. I want to thank you so very, very much for being with us right now. This is definitely a call out to anybody who is in a position to blow the whistle on goings on within the drone strike. the drone program and many other aspects of the government, which are so incredibly repressive that they don't even need to, they virtually don't need to exist, because it's simply the fear that is keeping the lid on everything as tightly as possible. Again, thanks so much, Colleen. And now I want to also say thanks to, we have this morning, just fortunate to have Justin Miller here with us to tell you about why KABU is part of that apparatus that does keep some of these people honest by telling the truth. Good morning, Justin. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Chris. Chris is one of our most tireless volunteers, comes in every morning to produce a newscast with interviews for you in Radio Land, Air Cascadia, and everyone who calls right now into 877-500-5266 is going to, in addition to getting your membership started or renewed, is going to become an official whistleblower, because we're going to give you a chrome whistle for everyone who calls in the next 3 minutes to 877-500-5266. Maybe you could do a $60 membership and we could give you a copy of The Passion of Bradley Manning by Chase Madar. That's a minimum $60 gift, and that's a retail value of $15, so that means $45 will be your tax deduction next year, and that's money you divert from the drone wars. That's money you are not giving to Washington to imprison whistleblowers. It's money you are giving instead to make sure that your community has this vital information. 877-500-5266 to say thank you to Chris Andre for doing Air Cascadia every day to become a whistleblower. And I want to thank Christine in Ridgefield, who's renewed her membership. Thank you so much. Peter in Portland has renewed. Thank you so much, Peter and Christine. Allison in Portland has renewed. Thank you, Allison. And Andrew in Portland has renewed. Jennifer in Beaverton, thank you so much for renewing your message. And Denise in Portland, thank you for renewing your message. Phil in Portland has renewed. He is a sustaining member, and we are so grateful for that. Won't you join right now, 877-500-5266. When giving is hardest is when it is also most critical, when people rely most heavily on the services that KABU is providing. We are able to do that because of your generosity, dear listener. Become a whistleblower right now, 877-500-5266. $60 gets you a copy of The Passion of Bradley Manning, and it also gets you the improved quality of signal that you can only have when you made it possible. I just want to briefly say thanks to the restaurants Toast at 5222 Southeast 52nd, Daily Grill, thank you, at 750 Southwest Alder, Blue Olive at 500 Northwest 21st, and thank you to everyone who has called and is moving to your phone right now. And now we go to Flashpoints.
Today on Flashpoints, Willits, California tree sitters violently yanked out of their trees as cops opened fire on protesters with rubber bullets and then cut down the trees. Also, the past president of Vets for Peace calls for the revoking of the Nobel Peace Prize from Barack Obama. And we'll find out why one queer person is not celebrating California's historic gay marriage decision. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoint. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We got a lot on the show today. Just before airtime, we managed to reach several of the tree sitters who were under attack. There was one we spoke with, Warbla, last week, who was yanked out of her tree this morning. They took her out hard, and then they just chopped down this beautiful old growth tree. That was a message. Also, we're getting reports that the local police there, or the CHP, opened up with rubber bullets. It was quite violent. So here's some sounds. We spoke with the tree sitter Eagle. They were on the way up to grab him as we spoke to him. He was getting ready to lock down. He did lock down. And I understand that was a very violent extraction of him from the tree, which is continuing as we speak. Then we spoke with Falcon, who has a view of the attack on Eagle. Here's reporting from today's violent police action, supported by the highest levels officials of California. This attack, in the midst of the attack, the destruction of the ozone layer, they're taking these trees. Listen to this.
Narrate the situation. Tell us who you are, where you are, and what's going on right now.
Yeah, my name's Travis, and I'm in a 300-year-old oak tree right in the way of the Willits bypass, and they're sending up climbers right now, and I have to let you go because I got to lock myself to a tree. This is a unuseful project. It's $280 million in wasted taxpayers' money, and they want to ruin rearing habitat for salmon and pile drive 60,000 pilings into what is now Little Lake Valley. It's going to destroy this valley. They want to just punch in an unuseful road that's going to cause more traffic accidents. Everybody in the community is totally against this project, and it's unnecessary. All they have to do is restripe the road inside of Willits.
I know you're under a lot of pressure, but just please tell us a little bit more. Where are the extractors right now? Are they right below you? What's going on? It sounds like, are you there, Eagle? We're speaking with Eagle, who is in a tree outside Willits trying to stand against a widening freeway that people feel is going to destroy the natural environments already destroyed. Are you there? Apparently the cops, it's heavily armed situation, CHP, a lot of police. Some people have been shot already with rubber bullets. And what I understand is happening now is one of the sitters, Eagle, is being extracted right now. Eagle, are you there? I'm going to try and go to another tree sitter. Stand by. Could you please introduce yourself? Tell us where you are now, what you saw this morning, and what's going on now. By the way, we just left Eagle. I believe they're on the way up to get him.
They have, Caltrans has an orange Caltrans cherry picker in his nest right now. I'm sure they've discovered that he has a black bear, meaning he is locked down from his wrist to wrist inside of a steel tube.